The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
Welcome back. Big first hour with Bill Hancock, the director of the CFP in studio. We also talked about the notice of allegations to the University of Tennessee, 18 level one. Comeback trail has come to a screeching halt. The legacy of Philip Fulmer as the athletic director, certainly tatters today. His legacy as a football coach is not in dispute. He won a national championship in 1998, but Thamel excoriated Fulmer, saying he will go down as one of the worst athletic directors in modern college football history. Let's check out more phone calls here, and John is up next. Good afternoon, John.
Good afternoon, Paul. How's it going?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Yeah, it was a long week for you, wasn't it?
It was a great week. Media Days only happens once a year, so we can handle it.
That's right. Well, I got a question for you. What did you think of Harsin's comment on about talking about not having that many recruits for the next recruiting class? And his response was, "Watch," to the reporters.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know really what to make out of Harsin and recruiting. I questioned Takiyo Spikes and Cole Kublik yesterday about that. And it would appear that he is not in the same league, at least in relation to philosophy, as the upper echelon of the SEC. And you know, he may have a plan that he can be successful in the SEC by developing players. But if he can show me the last person to win a championship doing that, I'll be more than happy to sit down and listen.
Yeah, I understand. And I also got a second question. How much do you think the impact of Tank Bigsby coming back is going to be for Auburn?
Well, I think it's significant. He's a go-to player, and he gives them a chance with Tank Bigsby. But you know, once they figure out the quarterback situation, I think we'll have a better idea. I worry more about just the volume of players and how many really skilled position players do they have? How many difference makers? And you have to wonder whether they have enough or not. Iman is up next. Good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon, Paul. Glad to have you back on the air with us.
Thank you.
You know, Media Days is kind of a cool thing. I went up there a couple of years ago in Birmingham, and it's obvious to me that it's really not. It's fan-friendly, I guess. I hate to say it's not. But it's really more about the media and the media doing their job. And we watched y'all do your job all week. I really appreciated Harsin's comments yesterday, and I thought they were through the roof. Everything that he's gone through this year, and you were just talking with the last caller about does Auburn have enough? Well, I mean, we can thank the good old boy network over there at Auburn for that. And, you know, for all the billions of dollars these cats have in millions, and you know, they walk around with such high self-esteem, a real good feeling about themselves with their nose above the water, I think they could all stick it where the sun shines. I have absolutely no use for them. I have no respect for them for what they did. And the people that did what they did to Harsin, they listen to this program and they network
with them. Well, I mean, let's cut to the chase, okay?
That's right.
We're not talking about the rank and file Auburn fan. We're essentially starting with one person in particular, and that is trustee
right.
Jimmy Rain. And you know me. I mean, I don't sugarcoat.
And the minions.
And Jimmy Rain decided that he does not like Brian Harsin, even though he's the most influential booster. And you know, quit blaming other. I'm not saying this to you. But let's quit blaming Auburn University, because that means because Auburn has a lot of great fans. But you know,
exactly
Auburn,
right.
Auburn has to figure out at some point, you know, what do they want? Does Jimmy Rain know more than anyone else? Jimmy Rain tried to get Gus Malzahn fired for 5 years.
Well, Auburn, it seems like the people in the back behind the curtains have done this to every coach from Terry Bowden on. And maybe some of these things were warranted, but they all dug into these people's personal lives and
That's what drives me crazy. I think Gus Malzahn probably should have gone earlier. I thought he was a good coach, but I think he was out of his league. So is Harsin the right coach? To be determined. But I tell you what, when you gin up false allegations about a man's character, that's despicable, if I could steal a phrase from my good friend Jimbo Fisher. And
it is.
And the real story has never been told on this, but it is going to be, mark my word.
I hope so, because I tell you, all these characters want to walk around as the cock of the walk and that thing, and I'm sure they have charities and they do a lot of good things communities.
Good for them.
But at the same time, they step all over people and don't give a damn. And you know what? I don't give a damn about them. And I'm not an Auburn fan because of those people. I'm an Auburn fan because I chose to be an Auburn fan. They just happened to be there. But you know what? I could care less if they ever came back. And I know that the schools need money and all that.
And I mean, let me add to this. You know, I know Jimmy Rain. I talked to him not that long ago. He asked me if I would help him with something, a documentary that his company was putting on for Pat Dye. And I would do anything for Pat Dye. But we also, in the middle of all that, invited him to come on this program. And he's been on the show before. It's been a while, but I wanted to give him a chance to explain his view, because everyone knows he was the guy. And I wanted him to explain, did you or did you not put someone up to that smear on Brian Harsin? We still haven't heard back.
Paul, here's another question you could ask him.
Well, I know all the questions to ask him, do you think he called us back? Do you think he said,
no,
I can't do it Monday, but I can do it Tuesday. If you want to come down here, I'll explain it to you. We haven't even heard. We never heard back from the guy. What does that tell you?
What can I give you a question I would ask him?
Of course.
What the hell was he doing screaming in Tuberville's ear in the middle of a ball game in the coach's box?
That's another story that has never been written about. It cuts to the core. I think he's a sponsor on this network, so I'm sure I'll be yelled at today, but that's fine.
Yeah, but you know, just because you got clout and money doesn't mean you have first place seat and you have the first right to have an attitude and opinion over the next guy that's actually doing his job.
Well,
I'll have a great day.
Thank you very much. And I've always liked him. Don't misunderstand me. This is not some guy that I've always thought was an underhanded dealer. I've had an open and honest relationship with him, and I don't care if anyone comes on the show or not. But I do care when people lurk in the darkness, trying to destroy people's careers. And I just want somebody to explain why that happened. And I think that's what you heard from Harsin the other day. I have very little confidence in Harsin being able to withstand all the heat and all the pressure that he's under. I did applaud him for what he said the other day. He basically told the administration or whomever he was referring to, you guys failed to get me out. That doesn't mean they won't fail the next time around. But I do think that not enough reporting has been done on that story. It's a fascinating story about how in the world something like that could have happened, and why Brian Harsin had to go through that echo chamber. I mean, what did he do to deserve being called in and interrogated about something that never happened? That's all I'm asking. We'll take a short break, and we are coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
We are back, and we just played a clip of the Jimbo Fisher interview from the beginning of yesterday's show. And I mean, sometimes when you're sitting there, you're more concerned about the flow and the cadence of the interview. But I came away very impressed with what he said yesterday. I mean, the energy, the enthusiasm. You saw there why he is so successful in recruiting. And I know we have all, me in particular, focused in on, you know, his Nick Saban rejoinder. But that was a really interesting look into who Jimbo Fisher is and what's he all about. And I thought he smoked it yesterday. I mean, he killed it from the podium, and he did there. And he came off authentic, whether you like him or not, versus some coaches who, you know, had the canned material ready to go, overly prepared by PR flacks. Let's get back to the calls at 855-242-7285. Ray is in San Antonio. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. Praise God and all his blessings to you.
Thank you.
Family. Always a privilege. So a little bit of a statement before the question. I am so thankful that not too long you're going to be behind the SEC Network desk, and we got football again, brother.
Yeah, no, it's you forget how long it's been.
So, question A and B part. A part, what was your number one message takeaway from SEC Media Days? And the B part, what do you read between the lines from what Jimbo Fisher had to say? I'll listen to your
Thank
response.
You, Ray. I mean, the takeaway was a little bit more broad than on the field. The takeaway was things are not quite as chaotic in college football as we thought they were perhaps 3 weeks ago. It doesn't mean they won't be again. The UCLA-USC move to the Big Ten was a shock to the system, but so far there haven't been any reverberations. I came away impressed with Jimbo, and I think that's the real Jimbo. I think in Destin we saw a Jimbo Fisher who really had been handcuffed. I think, you know, whether people buy the feud with Saban to be under the table or not, it's really not important. It doesn't matter whether they like each other or can't stand each other. I have a pretty strong opinion on what it really is. I thought it was interesting yesterday, a reporter asked Jimbo about the situation and had he apologized to Nick Saban for what he said. And we all know what he said. He called him a narcissist. He said he had a godlike complex. He said, look into the guy's past. Talk to people that have worked for him, and you find out what he really is all about. I mean, that was a total takedown, as everybody watching knew. He explained yesterday that it's water under the bridge, that, you know, we've had our battles, but we're both from West Virginia. You know, we get into a brawl, and afterwards we help each other up and go have a couple of beers. I don't believe that, but that doesn't matter. It's not really relevant. You know, Saban said, yeah, Jimbo and I, we've had bigger arguments in meetings. I would have liked to have seen one of those arguments, wouldn't you? A bigger argument than all the things that he said. And that's just soap opera conversation, because that is no longer really an important part of all this. And we tended to blame NIL for all of it. There's probably a lot more to it than that. And just go back to Jimbo a year ago calling the shot on Nick Saban and beating Nick Saban. That's a big deal. But I thought the last thing Jimbo said there to the point about Kyle Field. And, you know, Jimbo told us yesterday, you know, why did he have a good recruiting year? Was it NIL money? make up your own mind, but that atmosphere in Kyle Field the night of the Alabama game probably swayed a lot of people to consider A&M that perhaps were not so sure before that. Let's continue, and Coy is in Florida. Hello, Coy.
Yes, I noticed that when he was talking to you, I mean, this guy's getting paid all this money, and he's supposed to teach discipline, and he shows up. He clearly cannot grow a beard, and he shows up. He hasn't shaved in days. There's no way he's got that much stubble by the afternoon. I mean, did that even cross your mind that he's sitting there? Did it bother you a little bit?
Coy, I am more used to raggedy coaches than I used to. So no, it.
Well, Nick Saban is from from West Virginia. He doesn't look like a mountain man.
But Nick Saban likes to be. I mean, Nick Saban wants to come off as if he's the CEO at General Electric. Jimbo wants to be more of a rough and tumble players coach type of image. I did not know. I mean, I sat right next to him, talked to him a couple of minutes beforehand and afterwards, and I never really it's not like, you know, you put your hand on the guy's chin and go, did you miss a few spots this morning?
Oh, well, I was crawling in my skin, man. Have a wonderful weekend.
Thank
Take
you.
Care.
Yeah, I'm from now on, Jamari and Bram, should we check our guests in the future on whether they've shaved that morning or not? Yeah, we're gonna get a shave bouncer in the future. Michael in Knoxville, Tennessee. Hello, Michael.
Hey, Paul. How you doing today?
We are doing great.
Hey, listen, you could kind of answer my question about Fulmer's legacy in regards to the Jeremy Pruitt cheating. So I kind of want to change gears. Using your Friday crystal ball, how many teams do you think the SEC will have in 5 years and 10 years?
I think it will be 20 if I had to guess in 5 years. 10 years is a little bit impossible to gauge because I think this thing is happening. It's not happening immediately, but I do believe it's happening.
Right.
And 20 seems to be the number at the moment.
And do you think that's the optimum number in your opinion?
I think the optimum number is about 10 or 12, but that's not where we are anymore.
Not going to happen.
No, I mean, we're still within the SEC footprint struggling to digest the move by Texas A&M and Missouri 10 years ago. It takes a long time.
Right.
And we may never feel Oklahoma and Texas because there may already be a movement for a couple of more. I don't like what happens to the rivalries and the games, but it's where we are right now in the sport.
I agree with you. I'm the same way, but the train's not going back into the station.
No, you can't. I found the move last year with Texas and Oklahoma to be very exciting because of what they bring and what they offer. I can't tell you. I mean, I've only seen four teams added to the SEC in my career: Arkansas, South Carolina, and then the two 10 years ago. And there's always been debate about, you know, the validity of all of them. But, you know, but those schools have just as much of a claim as anyone else. I mean, this is not a league where, you know, you get tossed out by not performing. Everybody equally shares. This is not like the ACC right now is contemplating whether they change the revenue share. That's not going to work. That is simply not going to be a viable solution. If you're a league, everybody should be equal. You shouldn't start, you know, putting gold stars by certain people's names. It always leads to trouble. How about Jim in Florida? You are on the air. Hello, Jim.
Yeah, hi, Paul. Thank you so much for taking my call. Listen, yesterday at the end of your program, you said something that caught my attention as a West Virginia fan. You said about a decade ago you were a guest on Hoppy Kirchhoff's statewide radio program.
Yes.
And during the program, you were trying to make the case that West Virginia ought to join the SEC. Do you remember what you said back then?
Yeah, it was, I think it was before the expansion. There were rumors going around about the Pac-12, and there was movement everywhere. At the time, nothing happened. And he called me, and I didn't know a lot about him, and I do now. He is, you tell me, you probably know more than I do, but he's very influential. And right. we talked off the air, and he said, how do you feel about this? I said, I really think West Virginia is a great fit. And he invited me on. I said that on his program. It got a little bit of attention in West Virginia. And as soon as I said that, I started hearing from people in the SEC that it was never going to happen. But I did believe in it, though, yes.
Well, I mean, what were the arguments that you made, Paul? I mean, did you talk about the cultural fit or the athletic facilities?
Yeah, no, I talked primarily about the experience of visiting Morgantown, the cultural fit. There was a lot of commonality that I think that the fans of that school would be relatable to fans of other schools within the SEC. And I also said, you know, the football program, basketball program. I mean, these are programs that have great notoriety, and I was just simply on a radio show. I wasn't influencing anybody that mattered, like in Birmingham and around the SEC.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think those kind of arguments still, you know, are kind of valid today. I mean, Hugs is still there, and you know, Neil Brown is. You know, this is going to be a pivotal year, I think, for Neil Brown there, but. Yeah, let me tell you something, Paul. For the longest time, I thought that West Virginia should be a member of the ACC because of the travel issues involving the Mountaineers going, you know, to the Big 12 schools and the loss of the rivalries. I'm not so sure right now. It looks to me like the Big 12 is the third most stable conference in the country right now. Would you agree with that?
You are 100% correct, and I know more today than I did a week ago, but when you spend as much time off the air talking to movers and shakers, that is the consensus. If you're looking at the ACC, not to turn this into a Wall Street analyst review or report, but they're getting downgraded, and I don't see much way for them to turn that around. While the Big 12, in spite of losing what they did a year ago, has a chance to cobble together a very respectable league.
Right. Yeah. I logged on. I read a couple of, newspaper columnists, ACC writers, and boy, they're a little unhappy with Jim Phillips. They just don't think he's being aggressive enough and that he's out of touch.
I think they're right. And he's a smart guy, but mm-hmm. I think he's in over his head. And, you know, he wasn't dealt a great hand by so many things that have gone on. And when you don't have a good hand, don't try to con people. And I felt like Phillips yesterday, or maybe it was Wednesday at the ACC meetings, really tried to pull the wool over people's eyes. And that drives me crazy.
Mm-hmm. Paul, one more thing I want to say something. I thought your interview with Noah, the student journalist from Auburn yesterday, was just marvelous. And I hope you stay in touch with him.
We will, and I will say this, and I try not to get too over the top here, but that experience sitting there with him was really one of the most moving I've ever encountered, because people, I'm sure it was evident, but the struggle that he had just to get on that set to talk was truly remarkable. But the joy that I saw from Noah and from Callie, who was his colleague at the student newspaper, was truly inspirational. I'm so glad you mentioned that. Hey, thank you very, very much. We're up against a break. We got a lot to do, more guests to come. We're coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's HIMS.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. HIMS.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Welcome back. It's great to have all of you here, and let's continue with more phone calls. Sean is up next in New York.
Yes, right? I'm still here. Yeah, sure.
Hey, doing? Sean. Good.
All right. Is this Paul?
This is Paul.
Hey, Paul, I haven't spoken to you in a long time. Brian Kelly took Notre Dame into the Georgia Dome, and that year, if you recall, when I spoke to you, Notre Dame had one of the best offensive lines in the country, and they made over a dozen penalties.
Right.
Because Kelly didn't have the team ready for the acoustics. We talked about a little bit about that back then, but that's not why I called you, Paul. I called you because, as you know, Notre Dame's working on a huge contract with NBC, and I feel if they get that, plus considering you never know what the Big Ten and the FCC, whether they'll start flipping, similar to what, you know, the ACC and the Pac-10 is doing this year. There's no guarantees. But I think the bottom line is money and exposure. And I don't think there's a team out there that has more global exposure than Notre Dame. And I'm prejudiced because I'm a lifetime Notre Dame fan. As a kid, I went back to Johnny Lujack, and then Paul Horning was one of my heroes, and then John Hewitt and so forth. But I think that they're better off staying independent. They'll make more money, and everybody wants to be on Notre Dame's schedule.
Well, but I know, but Sean, maybe a lot of Sean, though, hold on one second. Sean, you're missing the point. And you know, right now there's projections that Notre Dame could make maybe $60 to $75 million with a new NBC
75
contract.
75 million, yeah.
And they'll be right. They'll be grandfathered into the playoffs. That's a guarantee. But the question is, what has changed? Brian Kelly, like him or not, left Notre Dame for LSU because he didn't feel like he could compete for a national championship. Now, before anyone jumps up and says, have you seen where we are ranked right now in recruiting? I know where you're ranked, and I think your coach is fantastic. But if he doesn't win quickly, that will cool off, and Notre Dame will be in the exact same position that they've always been, where in the Big Ten or SEC, for that matter, they are playing at a higher level from a recruiting standpoint. Ultimately, $25 million is a lot of money. It's not going to change anything at Notre Dame. What will change Notre Dame's future and trajectory is getting in a league where they are a league that's considered among the very best. And right now, there's only two leagues that can claim anything close to that distinction, in spite of the laughable comments yesterday by Mr. Phillips in the ACC. Manny is in Alabama. Hello, Manny.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing? Loving your show as always.
Thank you, Manny.
Look, yeah, I wanted to give you a little anecdotal comment from myself and faculty members about the impact of NIL on a classroom, a little bit different perspective.
Sure.
Been watching Media Days this week, and of course NIL is probably the, if not nearly the most important topic. But then I wanted to lead in mainly to the Mike Leach interview. The first is the anecdote. As you may imagine, players have never enjoyed taking freshman and sophomore classes, and I have the disputable privilege of still teaching some of those. But when I started as a faculty member, we still had star athletes come into the classroom, and we're a football school, of course, and this includes the football players. I would see them on Saturday, and I'll eventually see them on Sundays. They are noticeably absent now from myself and my colleagues' classes. And I'm not surprised. I can't say that I blame them.
Where are they?
Taking classes on money management and marketing. You know, the classes offered by the football program to help them manage NIL and figure out how to navigate these kind of things and what to do to manage their money. So I'm not saying they're cutting classes, but they're able now to shift away from those so that if they're out in 3 years, they don't have to suffer through so many of these, you know, pretty terrible on them sometimes, freshman and sophomore classes. So that's not surprising. But having said that, there are still a large number of athletes from every program, the larger programs and the small ones, who are in college specifically to get their degrees. And so I say that in order to tell you this. Mike Leach brought up this week the idea that some athletes would be able to designate themselves as either professional or student athlete according to where their future was and what their goals are. And I think that's very interesting. I'm not saying I think it could happen, but with the different goals we have going on here, one being professional and financial, the others being athletes who are still there to get their degrees, I think something along those lines needs to happen. As a faculty member, I would love to see that. I'm not saying we should put all the star players back into the freshman classroom or the sophomore classroom by any stretch. I totally get where they're coming from. But the ones who aren't making the money, there needs to be some way for them to maybe get a little more support, a little higher of a stipend, but to designate themselves as being there for their degrees.
Very interesting, man.
So
yeah, thank you for the call. I think the sport is heading down that road, and I think you're going to see at some point serious-minded schools say we're not playing professional football on our campus. May come soon. Alan is in South Carolina. Hello, Alan.
Hey, how are you today, sir?
Very well, thank you.
Great, great. Two-part question, please. And thank you for having me on your show. What is your gut feeling on Coach Beamer and the Gamecocks' upcoming 2022 football season? And second part, what do you think the chances are of Florida State University joining the Southeastern Conference?
Alan, thank you. Thank you very, very much. I'm really high on Shane Beamer. I'm not as high on them this year because they so exceeded expectations last year. I think the program is in good shape, though, regardless of whether they get 7-8 wins or whatever it turns out to be. I think FSU is a legitimate contender down the road for the SEC. This is a school that 35 years ago could have joined, was invited to join, and snubbed its nose at the SEC. They felt like it was not in their best interest. They went ACC, and in many ways they were successful. Now, Bobby Bowden for 20 years had one of the top programs in the country, but that has now changed in spite of the national championship in 2013. And whether Mike Norvell brings them back or not is a hot topic of debate. Are they SEC viable? Absolutely. I've been to that campus to games. It feels and looks like an SEC campus, so I would think they would be under serious consideration if the SEC goes in that direction. Let's take a short break. We are rolling through the second hour. Bill Hancock joined us early, the executive director of the CFP. We're coming right back with your phone calls.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and The Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
AC, good afternoon.
KC, what is my Kentucky Fried Chicken? Thank you so much for taking my call, Mr. Feinbaum. How you guys doing?
We're doing great.
Perfect, Mr. Feinbaum. Well, I want to thank my background cheerleaders. They did a fantastic job the whole week to get you ready in Atlanta. They did all the work, man. So props to my background cheerleaders, because I love me some cheerleaders. And I love you too, Mr. Feinbaum. You seem like a very nice guy, even though you just shaved your head bald all the way. Who is this Jerome guy begging for money 2 weeks ago? And 2 days ago, he's going off again how Alabama, well, Georgia defeated Alabama. Let me give you some history, Mr. Feinbaum. When Clemson defeated Alabama twice, this is the same thing with the Alabama fans. They don't accept the defeat. Same thing when they lost to LSU. Same thing when they lost to Georgia. They knew baby daddy Kirby Smart, and they lost to a former walk-on named Stetson Bennett. I mean, Nick Saban got them all the championships. I think they should just sit down and appreciate what this man has done. Can you imagine Alabama never won a championship under Nick Saban era? I think your entire state of Alabama, they'll commit suicide. So this is what I'm going to tell you. Alabama fans, you guys, worst of the worst, because you're putting a lot of pressure on that team to get it done. What's going to happen? Answer my question. What's going to happen if Alabama fails to win the national championship? We're going to disappear from the station? You're going to make another excuse? That's all I hear. Excuse, excuse, excuse. Mr. Feinbaum, you don't make excuses. You get up in the morning, you hit the shower, you eat your breakfast, you show up to work. That's what you do. You don't make excuses. You want to know why you don't make excuses? Because you graduated from University of Tennessee, Mr. Feinbaum. Think about it. What's the point of making excuses? To me, it seems like there's a championship going on in Alabama. It seems like more excuses. So, Alabama fans, this is on you. Because next year, God willing, if I call in and if Alabama fails to get the job done, I'm gonna smash you just like the way I'm doing right now. So don't put a lot of pressure, because Nick Saban is a great coach, but you're putting a lot of pressure on that old man too. But guess what, Mr. Feinbaum? I'm gonna hang up by saying this. I'm taking the Ohio State Buckeyes to win the national championship. And after that, Columbus is gonna celebrate. And guess what I'm gonna do to you, Jeff? I'm gonna smash you too. And I'm gonna smash all of them. Except for Mr. Feinbaum, except for my background cheerleaders. Mr. Feinbaum, you got to have some energy still, my brother. I got to go. Enjoy your weekend. God bless you, man. I love some cheerleaders, too.
Ben is up next in Florida. Hey, Ben.
I want what that guy's on.
Man,
Paul.
I mean, whatever he's taking, double it for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Man, everybody's from New Jersey.
I'm exhausted. I mean, you got a cigarette? I mean, I just kind of feel like I need to relax after that.
Well, yeah, it's crazy, but I'll try to tone it down a little bit. So, my question, I'm a Gator fan. My question is, what you think of Billy Napier and how you think he's going to do in his first year, and if you think he might get past, like, maybe the 4-year mark that all the coaches like Will Muschamp and Dan Mullen and all of them never actually got past.
Ben, thank you. I've been wrong before on Florida coaches. Everyone has, but I sat there with him the other day and just really admired how cerebral he is, how smart he is, and I juxtaposed that with some of the past and he's different. Muschamp was out of his league there. McElwain was overwhelmed. Mullen could have handled it if he had shown a modicum of humility and maybe listened to a few people about the best way of going about running an overall program. But I think Napier has it down. He has great life experiences. He has tremendous organizational skill. He is a good recruiter by all accounts. He's going to need to be a better recruiter down there. And he just needs to be able to withstand difficulties early on, because that is an anxious fan base right now. Chris Doering said that to us the other day, not some commentator like me who only goes to Gainesville a couple of times a year. The guy lives there, and there's great concern about the expectations of that fan base and who they really are. Thank you very much for the call. How about Trey in Arkansas? Hey, Trey.
What's up, Paul? It's been a while.
Good to hear from you, man.
Yeah, I was wanting to know, what do you think Arkansas's record is, and why are we so underrated?
I don't think Arkansas is underrated. I think the challenge for Arkansas is clearly the schedule this year. It is too difficult. You know the schedule, and Pittman said that at Media Days, and I think they've got a great quarterback. They've got a lot of compliments. They're a tough team, but Cincinnati, A&M, Alabama at Mississippi State, that's the first half, and then you go to BYU, a game that should never be on your schedule. In the middle of the season, at Auburn, Liberty. That is just insane. We'll take a short break.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.